I had this nice 25-minute sermon plan, and Anita messed it all up now. I can't get there. No, actually, I'm not sure I'm going to get by 10 minutes, because I don't know. Anyway, I'm just giving you that. I just don't know what's going to happen this morning. But our epistle lesson today comes from the book of Acts, and I am reading from the 16th chapter, verses 9 through 15. Listen for the word of our Lord. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace the following day in Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. He remained in this city for days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my house." And she prevailed upon us. Sisters and brothers, this is the word of the Lord, our Lord. Thanks be to God. Nothing like a good passage with lots of Greek words spaced out and names going along the way. And then what do we talk about but visions? We Presbyterians love to talk about visions. Don't hurt yourself laughing. People look at this with Presbyterian eyes and say, "Oh, maybe Paul just wanted to go to Macedonia because he really wanted to be the first person to go and prophesy to the people in what would become Europe. No one had gone there, yes, and taken the word there, and people would think, Paul would say, oh, this is a great thing for me to do, to get there and be able to do that. However, the book of Acts mentions that Paul did not go to Asia, Bithynia, and Mysia because he was blocked by the Spirit. So if he was blocked by the Spirit, wouldn't he be able to be unblocked by the Spirit as well? And I know this is getting crazy, a Presbyterian talking about Spirit and the Holy Spirit and all this stuff happening, and maybe he just woke up because he had eaten too much food and it just came to him that he'd go there. The point is, and I think the real point of this, at least for today, that finding Paul's motivation for this is not what we should really be looking at in this little place where Paul was sleeping that night. But look to how Paul was ready to change everything for one dream that he had. One dream of God's message to him changed everything that he had laid out that he was going to do, that he and his group were going to be going to different places. It was all done. Reservations had been made. Hotels were waiting for them. They got on the train and it got there in a month. Everything was set up. And in the night, God says, "No, go to this place. They really, really need to talk to you. Please," the man says, "please come teach us." Now, we are Presbyterians, and we're not really good at things like this. Visions coming in the night, the Holy Spirit dancing around. We just assume the Holy Spirit sits in the back row like everybody else does. if the Holy Spirit would stay back there and mumble through the prayers and all that and sing like that too. That's what we are. We're Presbyterians. You can't get all uppity and go glad and happy and go do crazy things. That's not what we're supposed to do, is it? I think what we're learning or should learn from this thing is several things, lots of things actually, but perhaps the first one is to keep an open mind about how God will come to you. We never know. We think when we sit down and read our Bibles and down into the evening and fall asleep while we get three whole verses in or something like that, we think, oh, that's the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to do that. Or early in the morning, we rise and read Scripture, and then we get charged for the day, and we go out and do that. And that's true. I, in fact, do that every morning and somewhat every evening. But that's not the only way God speaks to us. Because the fact is, timing is always God's. Whether it's the routine that we have of early in the morning or late in the evening or high noon or whatever it is, God is the one who is in charge of when things happen and when we should be listening to be there on God's time, not ours. Now, this is hard to talk about, but you know, for some time I have been praying and praying. What is next, God? What is next? And finally, one day, God said, "You're retiring." I was like, "Wait, God, I don't know how to retire. I've never done that before. I've had a job since I was in the seventh grade. I don't know how to not go to work every day." There was silence at the other end of that line that day. So the next day I go again and God says, "You're going to retire on this day." "Well, God, you know," and then that time I heard just a little bit of a little, "What? Okay, I'm done." We have to talk to God about everything. God's timing is everything, especially in our lives. And it's very difficult for us because we have our plans made. We know we're going that way, God, to go over there and get people knowing Jesus Christ and all that. And God wakes you up in the middle of the night and says, "No, you're going that way." Oh, no. We're stubborn. We just think it was an anchovy or something we had for dinner. And so the next day, we go this way. And we do that because I think we really feel like we cannot let go of being in charge of our own lives. We just can't. It's hard. And we have lived that way for so long, it's very difficult to listen and obey. And we also don't like somebody telling us what to do. I'm the youngest of three sons, three boys, and I got beat up a lot, and I fought back a lot, and I got tired of telling people what to do. And so it's really hard, something I had to get over with in my conversations with God, because you really can't just tell God to go away. Or you can, but it's not a good plan. It's really not. And I will tell you, I tried that plan. I did a lot. I've tried and failed and tried and failed. And after a while, just go ahead and tell God I'm sorry and tell me when you're ready. That's what Paul did this night. He heard the Lord speaking to him and say, go there. This person is pleading for you to come and teach them the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul woke up, everything changed, and there he went. And he found a great congregation there, one that supported him, through all of his years of ministry. When he went to Rome and was ended up in jail and locked in Rome for years, the people that he had been there in Philippi were the ones who never let him down, sent him the money he needed to survive while he spread the good news in the city of Rome. He listened. He listened to a man in a dream who said, "Come. Please come. We need you." And with nothing else, he got up and he went and he taught them. Without any idea of how they would be the one congregation out of all he did that will be with him all the way to his death. He got to see so many people that were in that place in time grow and being with their God and learning how to be with God. The idea is that when we are with God, we get quiet and we listen a lot. That's not how we usually do things. We usually only talk to God when we want God to do something to fix what we've already messed up. Perhaps we wouldn't have those conversations quite as much if we would just talk to God first. After all, God is in charge of everything, even time. And there is a time for every season under the sun. This is a season of change for me, for my family, for you guys, but God will still be with us, always. God says, retire. I don't know how. God says, it's okay, I know how. You say, we need a new pastor. I don't know how to do that. God will find that. God will bring that person that you need. And if they don't, just call me, I'll whoop them. It is difficult for us to let go of clinging to what we want to be and where we want to be and how we want to be and trust God. The Apostle Paul heard that night a plea. He changed everything in his life to answer that, because the Lord said to him, if we are really, really going to be a person of God, someone who loves to be with God, someone who wants to be deeper in God's vision and us to be feeling what God wants, we have to turn loose and listen for what God says to do. Not just today, not just on Sunday mornings, but every minute of every day of your entire life. It's hard sometimes to hear God's voice. It takes practice. It takes patience. It takes trust. And it takes letting go of all that we try to hold on to, our strength, having to be my own master. We also have to let go of making life easier and easier, and be ready to make it difficult and more difficult as God uses you out in the world so that others will start listening to God too. This is a wonderful place because every August, 250, 275 maybe, 300 maybe, students come in, brand new. with nothing but questions in their head. And you're here to help answer them. Make sure that you have been listening to God before you start answering their questions. I give thanks to God, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, for allowing me to be here today and for all these times that I have been here. Thank you all. And thanks be to God.
Amen.